interview with Dean Ingram at Waterloo, 29th of May 1995. Dean, where were you born?
In Sydney, in Crown Street Women's Hospital.
And what year was that?
1975.
And where have you grown up?
Lived in Waterloo, Redfern area since I was, I think I was about 3 years old when Mum moved back here. We was living in Peakhurst and Lugano when I was a baby. Then when we was three, my Mum moved into Raglan Street in Redfern. We lived there for about, say what, 7 years. Then we lived in Elizabeth Street, moved over to Elizabeth Street in Waterloo and lived there for around about 2 years before moving back up into Phillip Street, Waterloo. So it's been all around here since I've been three.
Yeah. So your memories would mostly go back to your earliest memory, probably the 1980 or something like that?
Yeah, around about the early 80s, you know, primary school, that sort of thing. I can sort of just remember my first day at school.
Really?
Just bits of being out the front of my house in Raglan Street, getting my photo taken and stuff like that. Yeah, but a lot of memories, you know.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yep, I've got two brothers and two sisters, and they're both older than me.
So you're the baby?
Yep.
By how much?
Well, my elder sister's 30, and then my other brother's 1 year younger than her. Then there's about 4 years between my other brother and then a year between my sister, so she's 5 years older than me.
Well, what are your earliest memories of this area?
Living in Raglan Street, there used to be a after-school care centre just directly across the road from my place, and used to go there after school, you know, in holidays. They had holiday activities and stuff. And just, like, where I lived, then there was sort of like about four or five neighbours of my mates that I had. And, you know, I can remember a lot just hanging around with them in the paddock next door to our place, making cubby houses, you know, stupid little things like that.
Yeah. Was there a paddock there, actually, like vacant?
Yeah, just a big, just a block of land, right, like I'd say about one or two houses away. There's this big long paddock. It was there, it was only, a housing commission built houses on it around about 2 years ago, but it was a paddock up until then. People used to live, it used to actually be, the area where it was used to be a, a bakery, and actually a friend, my sister, one of her friends at school's parents owned the bakery. And then once it closed down, there was a big block of land left behind it. I think it might have been their property. They used to have a house just above the paddock, and they had two German Shepherd dogs that sometimes we'd gone through the paddock and they'd come running. That was one thing, you know, we used to, you know, be worried about going through the paddock, worried about the two German Shepherd dogs. But it was sort of like a game, to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To run around there and whatever.
Yeah.
And catching grasshoppers too. That was one thing they used to love doing.
Yeah, you don't expect a big vacant sort of paddock in the city, do you?
Well, it was just, I don't really know what it ever was, but ever since we lived there, it was always just this big paddock. And actually, there was another one just up in Phillip Street where I live now, just down the road where there's more a block of housing commission places. There used to be a paddock, sort of just a big block of paddock land. It just had this big fence around it. It was never, ever used for anything. And I don't know if it was the housing commissions or whether they just bought it, but then they built houses on it around about five years ago, something like that.
So has all the vacant land been taken up around this area since then, do
you
think?
Yeah, I think, of course, it's changed a lot, you know, compared to what it used to be. Like now, especially with Redfern changing the way it is, you know, becoming more sort of like a popular area, you know, with Redfern Street and stuff like that. And you notice, like, with Surry Hills, it's like the flats that they used to build around there sort of just growing and coming in. Because there's a lot of the new houses and flats and that are being built around that, you know, just recently, like it's just sort of all come up.
And they're built on older industrial sites, I think, some of them.
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah. Because just recently as well, across the road from, in Chalmers Street, across the road from my place, there was an old factory there, and it was, I think it was, they used to manufacture material or something like that. And about a year ago, they closed that down and started building, I think they may be housing commission, but I'm not sure. But a new lot of flats have just been built across the road. They've just finished them places.
What kind of a house did you live in? What sort of a housing did you have?
Well, when we moved into Raglan Street, it was a big house. It was four bedrooms, and we had, you know, like a backyard and a shed out the back, and I remember we used to have a mandarin tree in the backyard.
Was it a two-storey sort of place?
Two-storey house. Not a pretty old two-storey house. Four bedrooms and a toilet out the back. That's how old it was.
And what about the other houses?
Well, when we moved into Elizabeth Street, there was, I think, five or six of us living in a two-bedroom flat. And so, like, three of us, me and my brother and my sister, had a sofa bed in the lounge room, and that's where, when we lived in the flats for about nearly 2 years or maybe a bit more, that's where we had to sleep, me and my brother and sister. Because my older brother had a girlfriend and I had a baby, so they had the room, and my mum in the other room.
What kind of a place was Redfern and Waterloo for a kid in the early 80s? What was it like?
I wouldn't say rough, but sort of like, I don't know, there was just always something to do. There seemed to be always something to do. You could always find someone you knew, or, you know, someone you knew to do something with, or someone to hang around, or somewhere to go.
There were a lot of kids?
Yeah, heaps of kids. I mean, reference school, I'm not sure, you know, how many kids there were, but, you know, there was always, and I mean, being a lot of schools in the area as well, with Waterloo, you know, and Alexandria, there was always heaps of, you know, kids around.
Did you live near the big flats that Asosa's mentioned, where she grew up? She often talked about the kids playing in a playground.
In the sand park, yeah. She used to live in Wellington Street, which is just up, two blocks away from Raglan Street. That's where we lived, probably around about the time that she lived in Wellington Street. And then probably when we lived up here, she would have lived in Wellington Street. But I know the flats that she's talking about.
Did you ever go and play in those areas? She talked about different playgrounds or compounds.
Because a lot of the flats too, there's a lot of parks and a lot of, like with just, you know, I was talking about the paddock, well, just across the road from that, there was two lots of flats, so there's two playgrounds, you know, that you can go and, you know, they had swings and whatever. And then across the road, there's another two blocks of flats. So up on the top flats, there's a playground there, then down on the bottom flats, there was a playground there. The flats Asosa was talking about is probably either them, or there's another one, a block of flats, which have got, in the middle, it's got a sand park. But everyone used to call it the sand park because it, you know, it's a park and had all the sand, you know, all the different things in it. And then another set of three flats up here, so there's a playground there, but that's, you know, more for younger kids, you know, same as it was. Yeah, so there's all, and plus, well, I mean, Redfern Park, just straight across the road, which is a huge park. Waterloo Oval, where they play football.
And did different groups of kids hang around different sort of playgrounds or have that as their focal point, or did you just roam pretty freely?
Sort of, yeah, but, I mean, there wasn't, like, this was where we hang out and that's where you hang out. It was more sort of everyone just, you know, there was, you didn't like doing this, like, at that age that I was, you don't like doing the same thing over and over again, so you're always doing this, you know, finding out what, you know, what happens if you do this, and, you know, so you're running around sort of, you know, getting into mischief wherever you can and finding new places sort of thing.
Okay. Well, what sort of a family do you come from? How would you describe your family?
Pretty good. Grew up with, you know, two older brothers and sisters. I wouldn't say that was good all the time, but, you know, it is good having a big family. Mm. It was good. Good family.
How would you describe your mother? What sort of a woman is your mother?
You're taping this, ain't I? In what sort of way do you mean?
Was she warm? Was she fun-loving?
All of that. Okay, yeah. you know, she was a heaps good mum, like, especially with me being a baby, I was sort of... got favoured, I'd say I got favoured a lot and probably a bit spoiled. But I wouldn't be able to live without my mum.
In your family, who controlled the finances? Like,
Mum always looked after the money. I don't really know, like, because I was a kid, you know, I didn't really know about the bills or, you know, who really looked after what, but I remember just waking up to the $1.20 for school and we'd all have our money set out on the table. But as far as I knew, Mum always looked after the money.
And managed the house, paid the rent and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, oh yeah, she always was the one to do all the, you know, pay the bills and so, yeah.
Were your parents religious?
Not really. I mean, with, like, because my grandmother, my dad's mother, was a Christian, and, you know, like, my family believe in God and Christianity or whatever, but not really religious where it was ever put on us or anything like that. We weren't sort of, you know, we didn't go to church on a Sunday and things like that, but, you know, we always believed in, you know, God and...
Did you go to a Catholic school
My mum did. Mum went to a Catholic school. I went to Redfern Public School. And then in fifth class, I went to a Catholic school for about 3 weeks. That was it. That was enough. Long enough.
Yeah. Were your parents politically involved?
Not really. My dad, with the issues of land rights and stuff like that, my dad was really... you know, into sort of fighting for land rights and things like that. But my mum, no, I wouldn't say.
Did you go with your dad, say, to any demos or stuff like that?
Every year we used to go to the land rights march. They used to have once a year. And I can't remember, I think it might have been during Aboriginal week, and we used to march from Redfern into the city, into Martin Place, at Town Hall, Town Hall there in the middle part. Everyone used to march to there and just have this big, you know, march on the day, and then they'd have all these speeches and people would get up and talk about land rights and things like that. But then they stopped having them. I don't know if it was about 5 years ago or more. I can't remember how long ago it was, but I remember every year we used to get ready and Dad would start making the badges and headbands and... everything else, you know, get ready to wear, flags and whatever.
Can you remember, you know, the 1988 celebrations or year of mourning? What can you remember about that? How important was that in your family?
It was sort of like a year where, because it was the bicentenary, like, there was a lot of focus on that, but I think that there also was a lot of focus on Aboriginals and you know, whatever had happened and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, we was there, you know, like going to the demonstrations and the events that, you know, whatever they were having. And
did you go to the big one on Australia Day? And they had a march. They were doing all the stuff down the harbour, and, you know, the tall ships were coming in. And then there was this other march, I think, up Belmore Park.
Yeah, well, we went down to Circular Quay, and we were sort of like, on that day, the marchers went around and went part of the march, sort of, and then just sort of drifted away and went, you know, looking around and just doing other things on the day of that march, that I can remember. Yeah, but other than that, just, you know.
What sort of discipline was used in your family, if you were being a rat bag?
They'd always get the belt.
Was that just like a waist belt thing?
Yeah, and it just, you know, whack across the legs, nothing much, you know, just one or two whacks across the legs, depending how bad it was.
What would you have to do to get that?
I never used to get hit that much. Well, I remember my brother got caught for, he got found out that he was smoking, and he was in bed and was late for school, and he wouldn't get up. And my dad went and got the belt and went in and woke him up with the belt. You know, he only hit him about two or three times on the legs, but that woke him up all right.
Yeah. Okay, well, as a kid growing up, were you expected to contribute to the family in any way? Like paper runs, collecting bottles? I mean, in earlier generations, like people who grew up in the Depression, I mean, they had to do everything they could to... Everything helped. What about in the 80s? Did kids have to... You know, if you had got a part-time job, would you have to give the money to the family?
No, not for me. You know, when I got my first job, I was expected to pay board. But, I mean, that wasn't until I was 15. I mean, I was 15 when I got my first job.
And that was a permanent sort of job?
Yeah, and just pay board. But, I mean, like, with paper runs and that, I used to do a paper run, but, I mean, it was mine. You know, that was just my pocket money. And we used to get pocket money, you know, like sometimes $5-$10 a week, you know, whatever Mum could afford.
Mm. And after you got your paper run job, did you still get pocket money too?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't get much on the paper run.
Oh, really? How much would you get for a paper run?
Well, I think I done it for around about 4 weeks or 5 weeks. And I think it was around about probably $6 a week if I was lucky.
How many hours would you have to spend?
I used to go like straight after school to the paper shop, then just have to walk around here. We lived up here in the flats, and I used to do the paper run all up Phillips Street around the flats. Take me probably around about an hour to an hour and a half, maybe a bit longer. But basically you got so much percent of how many papers you sold, and that wasn't really having much money. I think the paper was about 40 cents at the time, something like that. Might have even been cheaper. Mm. Probably about 40 cents, yeah.
Doesn't sound like such a good thing. What did your family do for fun? Did the family do anything like together for fun much?
Not really, not much that I can remember. Only with like family visits to, you know, places. Like I remember one place we used to go a lot was out to Campbelltown. I don't know why I can remember it, but my auntie used to live out there with her husband, and they had three cousins that lived out there. We used to go out there and visit all the time, but I was only like about four, five and six. We used to go out there a lot. But we never really had sort of like weekly family outings or anything like that.
Did you go on holidays every now and then?
Yeah. Not really. Only to like if it was to my dad's, where my dad came from, you know, where he was brought up.
Where was that?
To visit in Cowra.
Yeah.
Irambi Mission in Cowra. My dad was brought up there, yeah, so... You know, like sometimes we'd go up there for, you know, something would be on, or the show would be on up there, or, you know, we'd just go up there for a week or so, but not really, it wouldn't be all the family all the time. It'd be sometimes like, you know, my mum, dad and two of us, or, you know, whatever.
What would you do in the evening? Say you'd come home from school, and did you have the main meal in the evening?
Like when I'd get home from school, I'd sort of, you know, go and play and run to the park or whatever till around about, we had to be home at, I think it was 5 or 5:30 for dinner. Once we'd have dinner, I remember after that, I used to have straight, have a bath, get into my pyjamas, and then was allowed to watch TV till 8:30 and we had to go to bed. Unless Prisoner was on, I was allowed to stay up to 9:30.
Well, what, aside from Prisoner, what were the favourite TV programs?
I'm just trying to think now. I remember like some of the, you know, the shows that were always on at home, like Sons and Daughters, and I can't think. Prisoner was one of the main ones. I'll never forget that one. I can't really think of
them. Yeah, it's almost like it's too recent. Did your parents work?
Yeah, my mum worked as a cook at Aristocrat Poker Machines. She used to cook for, you know, all the workers and whatever.
Oh, was it a factory?
Yeah, a factory place, and she'd cook, you know, make all the lunchtime meals, hot meals, or, you know, sandwiches, whatever. And she, yeah, but I mean, when I was younger as well, I don't really remember much about it, but I know that she used to work for the Aboriginal preschool, which started out as a sort of like a lunch thing where they used to just give kids their lunch, you know, to make sure that they had, you know, nutrition and stuff like that, healthy food. So they used to feed them every lunchtime, and eventually they, you know, got funding and stuff and set up a preschool. And Mum used to work there as the bus driver, and I don't know what else she used to do, but yeah, but the one that I can remember from that will be the cooking in the factory.
And what about your dad?
Well, sort of not in the one job all the time. You know, he used to just work around a lot, getting a lot of different jobs. But I never really knew, like, where they were or whatever. It wasn't really worries or not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Growing up, I didn't really... That didn't bother me where they worked, sort of thing, you know.
Did your mum like her work cooking? Remember
think
how
so.
She felt? How she felt about when she came home? Was she tired, or was she happy enough in the job?
Well, she was happy with the job. I know that she was happy with the job because she enjoyed cooking because she does a lot of catering, even still now she cooks. But yeah, I think she was happy with the job. She, you know, when they called her in, I think she was only meant to work for 6 weeks or something, filling in, and she was there for about 7 years. And some ain't even just been there that long. And I mean, the only reason she left is because the company retrenched so many workers and whatever. That's how she lost the job.
What was a typical meal at home? And it's only evening meal. What would you typically have?
Well, they'd always be... I can't remember what, you know, sort of now, but like now we have one night a week is where it's a baked dinner. Like Monday night we have baked dinners. I can't remember when it was before, but we used to have like one night we'd have a baked dinner and then, you know, meat and veggies the next night and then something different the next night. But, you know, it was always a, you know, good meal. Good, you know, like big meal.
When you were growing up, who were your friends?
From like the earliest I can remember when we first moved into Raglan Street, there was a neighbour who lived just two doors up from me, a Greek boy named Con, who was one. And then there was like one across the road, a boy that lived across the road, and another boy that lived just up the street. We were sort of like, not a gang, but like we were always together, you know. We'd always meet up after school and go and do this and go and do that. And that was probably up to, you know, in say first, up into around about second class. And then at school, there was like three boys, a different group of three boys that I grew up from. We were friends from, you know, first class. I mean, from kindergarten till six, sixth class. But in my last bit of school, I didn't go to school much.
In sixth class?
Yeah, in sixth class. And then I went to high school for 2 months, year seven. Left and then went back in year eight for about 3 months, then left.
What happened? What went so wrong with school?
I don't know. I didn't like school. I started in fifth class. When I was in fifth class at school, when I got to fifth class, what had happened was there was too many kids in fifth grade at the school at the time. So they needed to move, I think it was three or four kids out of fifth class and put them into sixth class, just to make the classes,
even out.
Yeah. So they ended up sending three of us up into sixth class. So from fifth class, I sort of was not separated from my friends, but like it all sort of changed then, because they weren't sort of it wasn't the same anymore with me being in a higher grade. Sort of, at first it was hard because, being in the sixth class, like we was always given, taught slower and given extra help because we were only fifth graders. But, at first the work was hard and just everything, and I just started hating school. It sort of just started getting me in that state where I was just, I don't want to go to school anymore, and that's when I tried another school. So Mum put me into Alex and I went there for about 2 weeks. Then I just stopped going again, so she tried to get me to go back. So then...
Did the truant officers chase you and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, I remember one day in Alex, I walked into Alex school and Mum took me to school and made me go, and I didn't want to go. So she took me into the office, into the front office of the school, and held me there, and she said, "I'm going," and she went to work. And she went out and got into the car. So as soon as she left, I walked out the front of the school, but she was still sitting across the road in the car. So she came over and grabbed me and went off ahead and dragged me in the car and straight away went home and started ringing up Mount Carmel School to see how, to get me into there. And I still didn't want to go, but she made me. So I tried that school for about a week and didn't like it, especially, I think, because it was... religious, that was even worse. So
it's a wonder the school didn't address the problem quite. If you'd been okay at school before and they put you up and then you hate it, then it's pretty obvious.
I ended up going back to Redfern.
It's pretty insensitive.
At first I didn't see that as the blame. I don't sort of still see it as the blame, but it just sort of did, start the where I just stopped wanting to go to school anymore. Because from kindergarten all the way up to fifth class, I used to love school, and Mum even said she used to have to fight for me to stay home, when I was sick, because I just loved going to school all the time. There was nothing else to do. But when I left school, I went and got a job straight away.
But when you didn't go to school, even in high school and primary school, didn't the education department or somebody, it was against the law, didn't they actually put those, whoever they were at that time, was it welfare?
Well, that's why
or?
When, well, the welfare never actually got involved at all, out of all that time. During the last part, I can't remember if it was when I was in sixth class or when they put me up into sixth class or whether I was in sixth class, but I was going to school sort of like 2 and 3 days a week, so it wasn't where I just wasn't going. So in sixth class it was like I'd go 2 or 3 days a week, and then towards the end when I found out my grandfather was sick, and I just, because I wasn't going to school, they sent me down to live with my grandfather. So for the remainder of that year, I just didn't go to school anymore and just stayed with my grandfather because he was sick. And I just was never questioned or anything by the welfare. I was lucky, I guess. And then that's why when I was 14, mum rang up and had to get a special exemption for me to leave school.
You know, when you're with your friend, this is probably taking a bit back to when you were younger, but what sort of things would you do together? Like, how free were you to roam, and what would you do with your mates?
I think we would sort of, I had sort of from the after school, say from 3 o'clock till, you know, I had to be home from dinner till 5 o'clock, sort of. Was able to, the furthest I remember we was allowed to go was just to the park, which is just, you know, just down the street, the next block from where I lived. And but we used to sort of, at that age, we just sort of stayed around the area, but we'd just find things to do there, we'd build a cubby house, or we'd go into the paddock and catch grasshoppers, or, you know, just find something to do, or make a cubby house in our back shed, or make a shop out the front of my house, or, you know, just stupid things like that. We sort of just always stayed around, you know, the main block of where I lived.
What about in the holidays, when you were older? So when you were older and it was school holidays and you had presumably bigger blocks of time free, what sort of things would you do?
When I was, when we used to live in Raglan Street, and even when we moved out there, up until, you know, around about 12, I used to always just, mainly in the holidays, go to the after school care centre. They used to have holiday programs, so there was always, you know, you'd go there. That was sort of the only thing to do, you know what I mean? Because mum worked and whatever. I'd just go to the after school care centre.
Did you like it there?
Called the factory, yeah. It was good. We used to, you know, they'd have different things. One day they go to the movies, next day they go to the beach, or they'd stay in this day and do this. And so there was always, you know, each day of the week you'd do something different. That was a lot. That was probably the main thing that we did, you know, during the school holidays, up until I was, you know, around about 12, around that age.
Was it a free sort of place, or was it like school in terms of...?
Not like school, but you was always... You wasn't free, you know what I mean? You was always... It was sort of in a way like school, but it wasn't as bad, you know what I mean? It was good, you know what I mean?
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, because they was, you know, they was taking you out and there was, you was doing things, you sort of, yeah, I don't know, it wasn't, yeah, I wouldn't say it was like school, it was, I don't know how, know what I mean?
And what about after you were 12, you were going to say?
We just sort of, you know, after that, after 12 and sort of 13 or 14, you know, I basically just was allowed to do what I want, sort of thing, not run out, I wouldn't hardly go out, you know, running around the streets, blah, blah, blah. But basically, just come here to the youth club.
What was it like here at the youth club?
It was good. They used to have a trampoline in the main hall, and all these sort of gymnasium bars and things like that. And it was good. They used to be open until I think about 9 o'clock. So that was the latest, you know, I was allowed out till, you know, I used to have to be home at 9 o'clock anyway, so, yeah.
Did you have any adventures as a kid when you were roaming around with your friends?
What?
I don't know, just something odd or... I mean... No.
I can't really think. Okay.
What games did you play? Can you remember the names?
Cubby house was one thing a lot. We used to always build cubby house. That was one of the things where... Because we used to have a shed when we lived in Raglan Street. We used to have a little shed thing out in the back, and we'd forever build in cubby houses or Basically just go in the park and run and play in tips and build-ups and things like that.
Did you have any toys, books as a kid?
Yeah, not heaps. I mean, not a room full of toys or anything. But I mean, we always had, like, you know, like every now and then I'd get a bike for Christmas or you know, to have the, you know, different games, you know, games what all of us could play and things like that, but not...
Can you remember any fads? You know how these days kids get the, you know, these things like, I don't know, ninjas or whatever's and all that. Was there any fads like that then? That you had, that you were into? Barbies?
Sorry. The one I can remember is, but I mean this was like when I was about probably 3 or 4, there was them things in your, it's sort of like a, like it's not like, it's like a skateboard, it's got 4 wheels and it's flat and you put your knee on it and it's got this, you hold on to the 2 little bar things at the front, you put your knee on it and you like scrape your foot and you go along and you put your other knee on it and you just ride along the street. I mean that's a long time ago, but I can remember them because I remember always scraping my knee on it, and that's just why one of the things I can remember.
Obviously, nothing big deal.
Yeah, no, I can't really think of many that were sort of, you know, that big to me anyway.
Yeah. Were there any places you were not allowed to go where you, you know, where your parents said you're not to go? Blah, there, you know.
Not really, just like we was told, we always had to say we were going and basically we just be there until we, you know, like go wherever we was going and then come straight home. But there wasn't really any like bad spots or places where it was like don't go there.
Well, what about people to avoid? Were there any people in the neighbourhood that you were told pretty well to steer clear of?
Not really. I can remember one, just this one person who, like, we weren't really told to stay clear of him, but we all did anyway. But there was this Chinese man who used to be in the paddock all the time, used to go to the paddock all the time, and he was an alcoholic or something, and he'd always be walking around for a bottle of wine. And whenever we'd see him, we'd go somewhere else, or, you know, we wouldn't go near the paddock, or... if kids used to see him in there, they'd run because, of course, he'd just sing out and go off. But, you know, being kids, you know, just all run and, yeah, you know, we used to stay clear of him. But there wasn't really anyone where that was dangerous to us or, you know, that we thought were going to be
So it was
dangerous.
A safe neighbourhood?
It was told not to talk to strangers and things like that. But, I mean, not specifically any person, you know, that I can think.
Was there much crime in the area?
I think there's always been, you know, quite a bit of crime.
Would that be locals directed against locals, or would it?
Both, I think, you know, locals and people coming from out of the area and as well.
Were your parents security conscious, like locking the house and all that kind of business?
I mean, out of all the time we've lived in here, we've never once been broken into. I mean, touch wood. We've never once been broken into or, you know, had anything like that. Well, not that I can remember anyway.
So what sort of crime were you aware of? Was it drug related or?
Not really, not. Mainly like car thieving was the main one and probably still is the main one.
Well, that'd be mostly kids going for joyrides.
I don't really remember any, like, I mean, I know there was a lot of crime, but not really what.
Okay. talked a bit about your schooling. Is there anything else you want to say about schooling, your school experience? We've sort of covered that. But you really liked it for the first, up to about fifth grade. You must have been quite bright, or they wouldn't have been one of the ones who got promoted into the sixth grade.
Mm. Well, I don't know, because one of the reasons we were told that we were being moved up because we were the naughtiest. But I mean, I was always, like, when I didn't go to school for that certain amount of time in high school, I always loved maths, and I couldn't stand English. And, I was always sort of pretty good with my work, wasn't slack or anything, but, I just didn't like school, full stop.
Did most of the local kids go to Redfern?
Yeah.
Redfern Central? Is that what it was called, Redfern?
Redfern Primary School.
Primary.
Yeah. I mean, I knew most of the people, that I knew and were from Redfern School growing up. Most of the people I knew were from the school. There was a couple, that used to go to Waterloo Public School, but most of the kids, I'd say, that I knew or hung around or whatever were from Redfern School.
Before, you said actually that you, from about the age of second class through to about fifth grade, that you had the same friends and the same, you were together. I mean, that means that the population around here was pretty stable. Like, is that right? People who lived here for a long time? It's a long...
I mean, there was always, because I can remember, with the sort of group of kids, the group of us that there was always sort of the reason why probably, that was them three, the main ones, because they were the ones that sort of lived here. And, I mean, they still do, the three of them. But when there was always, another couple of kids who'd be in the group, hang around us and be in the group, who, moved in later and then, moved away and things like that. I remember this one boy that came to the school and ended up, was there, from about... from third or fourth class, and he became best mates with us too, and then fifth class, the end of fifth class, he ended up leaving as well. So,
Do most people in the area own their own homes, or do they rent?
Rent.
And is that from the Housing Commission or from private landlords?
No, Housing Commission. Most, I wouldn't be able to say for sure because I'm not sure what the percentage or whatever, but I'd say probably 60 to 70%. Of the houses in, Redfern Waterloo would be Housing Commission. Anyway, so,
It's big, it's a lot. Next question, did you get any sex education, either from your parents or at school?
Not at school, not at primary school, but in high school there was sex education. Never ever got it off the parents. And then, I didn't go to school much, but I... actually was involved with a youth project with South and East Services and Family Planning Association, where we had 3 months of training to work on the Making Sense of Sex hotline. And so we had to sort of do 3 months training in how to, in sex education, so that we can, when people, other kids rang up to ask us questions, we'd be able to answer their questions or refer them on to,
Did you have anything to do with that fact and fantasy file?
Yeah, that was it. That was what it was the project, it was called the project, I can't remember what the project was called, but what we done was we started doing workshops, and we'd go a couple of days after, a couple of afternoons a week and do workshops where we started learning about this and that. About sex education and certain things, STDs and all sorts of stuff like that. Then we had a 4-day camp where 47 kids from, there was so many from, I can't think, Randwick and then Matraville, I think it was. Randwick, Matraville, and I think it might have been Cleveland Street, I can't remember. Yeah, Cleveland Street, I think it was. And anyway, we had this camp with 47 kids and we all just met, and we had the four days whole of different sorts of workshops, training us to both learn about, sex education, so that we knew a lot, you know, so that we knew to answer questions and learn how to answer questions on the phone, you know, to the people asking. And then one of the things was to start designing the diary, because the diary was what we was using to launch the hotline. So we after we got back from the camp, we had more workshops. Like we set up certain groups, like editorial group and different things like that, and all started putting it together. And that was when we launched the diary. That was actually to launch the hotline, but the diary was to sort of, you know, let everyone know he's, you know, had everything about the phone number for the hotline and stuff with it. And
That was a good project. What was the average family size when you were growing up?
Well, from what I can remember, like there was a lot of the kids that I went to school with were single, you know, one only kids. But there was, you know, probably more percent of bigger families. I couldn't really say how many. I'd say probably, you know, like four and five, you know, three to five kids in a family. It was just funny now that you mentioned it, come to think of it, you know, probably about three, well, I know at least three of the main people that I used to hang around with in school were the only kids.
Yeah. What was the ethnic mix of the neighbourhood?
All kinds. Because especially at Reverend School, like, it was really, like, just a multicultural, there was all nationalities.
Yeah.
You know, like, in, even from kindergarten all the way up, there's, like, I remember a girl that went to the school, you know, the whole 6 years, she was Russian, her family was Russian. And then there's, like, the Vietnamese, Chinese, Greek, Macedonian, Fijian, Greek, Lebanese, whatever. Okay. You know, there was all sort of nationalities at the school.
Okay. If you were to describe the organisation, the neighbourhood, would you say it was residential or industrial or mixed? You know, how would you describe the neighbourhood?
You know, mixed, but I'd say residential, I'd say. Because if you look, like, there's three blocks of flats up here, which has got, like, 16 floors and 12 flats on each floor. And there's three up there, and then there's, like, four down there, and then there's two pensioner high-rise flats who, like, house. That's got about 24 floors, I think, with about probably say 6 to 8 house, you know, flats on each. And then there's like other big lots of flats, and it's more residential, definitely. I think at the, you know, it gets more industrial around the Alexandria area and that sort of thing.
Was there a social focus of the area? Like, was there a place where people, like your mum, would go and have a chat, or a pub where the men would mix, or a community organisation or anything like that? Where, you know, if there's something going on in the neighbourhood that was crisis or something or other, where people would go and talk?
Not really. It wasn't... not that I can remember. There wasn't really, like, a central sort of...
What about organisations, support organisations? Like, was there a neighbourhood centre or places like that?
There was the factory... the factory community centre.
And what's that? Who?
It's an after-school... I can't remember what it's actually started out as, but it used to be after-school care, and then, like, two nights a week they'd run a youth centre. And that... Like now, see, because I don't know if they had that before, but now they offer, like, they've got the youth centre has separated and become a big youth centre now. It's open 5 nights a week and is their own place. They're incorporated, and the community centre's still going, and they have, like, a toy library for kids, and they have daycare and still have after school care and things like that.
Mm. We asked if it was a safe neighbourhood, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did most people work in the area?
I don't know, really, because, I mean, like, Mum never worked in the area. I mean, Rosemary was sort of the area, but, you know, out of it. But, I mean, I'd, you know, been at school, not really. You know, I don't know where mainly people worked.
Okay. What were the main businesses in the area that you can remember?
Coles probably is the biggest, and Fleming's, like, in Botany Road. It used to be Fleming's Food for Less now. But that was always, like, one of the main shopping sort of places where, you know, go and shop. I remember Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning, get up early in Botany Road, you know, to go shopping.
And did people shop every week, or did they shop on a daily basis, like that one?
No, more the weekly sort of, as far as I know, the weekly sort of shopping, or the fortnightly shopping, whatever, rather than, you know, bits and pieces.
Did most people have cars, or were they reliant on public transport?
I'd say quite a few had cars, but I mean, then again, a lot too were, you know, had to rely on public transport.
Did you have a car?
No. excuse me. My mum had it. I'd say my mum's had a car most, you know, probably most of the time. Like, there's been times where she has not had one, but most of the time, she sort of managed to have a car. Or me grandmother, and so my mum sort of just used to use that one as well, so, yeah.
What smells can you remember? Any smells you associate with that area, this area of when, you know, from when you were a kid?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. All right.
Not really.
What sounds? What particular sounds? Can you think back?
I remember at night, because you can always hear the horns, and I don't know if it's from the boats, the carriers, or the trains, but you can always hear, you know, like late at night, or, you know, when it's quieter at night, you can always hear the thing, you know, echo, and I think it must echo through the flats or something, but, you know, and it's pretty loud.
Mm. You know the local crimp. Were there any local crims that you knew of in the 80s? You know, that were into, you know, was there anything going on? So I'm asking this question about two up schools and all that kind of thing, but that's more, they were more popular in the 30s, and bootlegging, sly grog, prostitution, moonlighting, or, you know, foreign orders. It was the preceding generation. I think they were much worse than yours.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't that sort of thing around, really. Was there any prostitution in this area?
I know that there is one. Like, there is a brothel around here now, and it's been there probably for, like, I can remember, up to about 5 years. But, I mean, I don't know how long it's been there before that.
Yeah. And did most people shop locally up on Botany Road?
Yeah. There was always, like, Botany Road and Coles shopping centre up in Surry Hills. It used to be called Riffin Mall, but it's now called Surry Hills Shopping Plaza.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's better business if they Surry Hills rather than Redfern.
Ah.
Anyway.
Okay. Oh, about the different neighbourhoods, like, were there different suburbs like Alexandria or, I don't know, Waterloo or Red, just neighbouring suburbs that had sort of a different social status? Were some looked down upon, and some were considered more affluent? Was there any of that kind of rivalry or...?
Not really. I think with Redfern and Waterloo, there is a lot, like, with the block at Redfern.
What do you mean, the block?
Oh, the block. That's Everly Street, Redfern, where all the Corries live in Redfern there. They call it the block because it's like Everly and Law Street. And there, that whole block is Aboriginal, belongs to the Aboriginal Housing Company.
Yeah.
And I mean, when, yeah, that's one place where when, like, I was heaps younger, I wouldn't go because it was always, like, a rough area. And
was it rather,
I was told not to go and it was rough. And I think there was, I mean, there was always the odd fights, but never like the real big rivalry. Like, most of the time, people could get on, you know, from the two suburbs or whatever. But sometimes there'd be, like, a fight between this person and that person, so he'd go back and get his mates and he'd go back and get his mates. So then it'd be sort of like that, you know.
Mm. We've heard hilarious stories about the Erskineville kids and the Newtown kids in their 30s and 40s throwing chunks of blue metal at each other across the railway line, and there's these gang wars of all these 10-year-olds, 30 or 40 10-year-olds on each side. I mean, you never had any sort of... like the Waterloo kids are going to build up all the kids in Redfern or Erskineville or any, was there any, did that not exist at that in your childhood?
I mean, not that I can remember. There was like I mean, I can remember fights where I don't think it'd be that bad, where sort of like we'd be at the youth centre and a couple of the kids from, say, Redfern would come up looking for, you know, this one certain person to have a fight with, and then they'd go up and find him, and that person would be with like four or five of his mates, and then all of a sudden they'd all be at the front, you know, and these two people fight, and then, but it was always sort of like them two would fight, and then if this one jumped in, then that other person would jump in, and
it wasn't sort
it was
of
never really like bottles thrown, and
no, they swear that,
well,
these...
not that I can remember. I mean, there was one time where there was this fight in one of the parks, and one of the kids threw a bottle at this other kid's head, so he went and ran up to the flats and grabbed the knife and then come back down and chased this other lad with a knife, and he ran and, you know, it took off and I don't know where he went to, and then he ended up chasing one of his other mates with the knife and then caught him and was going to stab him, and then someone else come up and kicked him and started, you know, getting into him, and then one of the boy who went over and, you know, was trying to get this other lad off, was stabbing this other lad, ended up getting stabbed, cut in the leg. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't sort of bad, it was just like two stitches, and then once he sort of got cut, everything just sort of settled down, because there was blood.
Mm. Yeah. But there was never, like, you know, when I talked to these people about Erskineville and Newtown, they said, oh, no, it was good fun, we didn't mean it, but it was just sort of organised on Saturday that they'd have these things, and they weren't necessarily that sort of serious. It was funny.
Yeah. No, I can't, yeah.
We've got 2 minutes. What were the most popular newspapers?
The only two papers I can always remember is the Sun, that used to be, and the Mirror, the Daily Telegraph Mirror, whatever it's called, whatever it used to be called, and the Sunday Telegraph. Mm-hmm. So I always remember the Ralph and what's his name, the commercial, two dogs, commercial Sunday Telegraph. Anyway.
What about what magazines?
Well, I can't remember because I hate reading. So not hate reading. I just don't like reading. I don't know. I wasn't really into comics or anything, so. Mm. Not sure.
Okay. Can you remember what the big issues? Just a minute. What were the big issues at the time? Can you remember any big deal sort of things that people were concerned about? Not necessarily just in Redfern, Waterloo, but I don't know. World events or.
I mean, not really. I mean, 1988 was. I can remember. You know, it was sort of like an important year of, like, with, you know, fighting for land rights and things like that. You know, like with demonstrations and things like that. Like, that was one time where it was sort of a major thing, you know, like a major, you know, event or, you know, however you want to call it. But, yeah, I'm not really sure what line you mean.
You know, when you were a kid, did you go to the pictures, by the way, movies?
Yeah, every... I mean, not all the time. It wasn't like a weekly thing where I would go, but every chance that I got, I could go. I remember I used to always whinge to go with my brothers and sisters because they'd never want to take me. Mm-hmm. But most of the time they'd end up having to. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, probably a couple of times, you know, at least 2-3 times a month, go to the movies.
Mm-hmm. What did you know about the outside world outside your local area? Where were you?
What do you mean in like?
Well, just what was going on in the world. I mean, were you aware that there were other countries, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there was always, you know, the news, and you know, you watch the news and find out what's going on here, there, and everywhere else. But I mean, I've always just lived in Waterloo and Redfern and never really bothered much about, you know, what is, you know, what's going on.
Can you remember any sort of rituals? Like, you know, can you remember Cracker Night, for example?
Yeah. I remember Cracker Night at Alex Park. Now that you mention it, I actually forgot all about that.
What would you do?
I remember before Cracker Night, like, you know, a couple of weeks before Cracker Night, we'd always find the bags of firecrackers in, you know, Mum would start buying them, collecting them up for the night, and then, you know, get all excited. Then on the, I can't remember what night it used to be, but they'd go down to Alex Park and we'd all, you know, all the whole family and a lot of, you know, heaps of kids would go down to Alex Park and just set off all their crackers, you know.
Did you make bonfires?
Yeah, they'd always have a bonfire at Alex Park.
Would the neighbourhood organise that? Or council? Or?
I'm not sure if it was council. I think it might have been the council who organised it. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure. But they used to have a bonfire and all the fireworks at Alex Park.
Can you remember anything else where it was sort of almost ritualistic, like where they'd have ceremonies and the flag would be raised and singing anthems or anything? Oop, we're gone. This is tape 2 of the interview with Dean Ingram and the 29th of May 1995. Can you remember what illnesses were common in the early 80s?
Within the area sort of thing?
Just what people were aware of and kids' diseases.
I mean, I can't really remember much. I mean, they're probably, you know, the biggest disease that, you know, I heard about was like AIDS when that first came out, in like we're doing the sex education, things like that. But I mean, other diseases like cancer or things like that, like I don't really know what people were dying of or what diseases, you know, what diseases people had in the area.
Can you remember any deaths?
How far back? What do you mean? Like, just
as a kid, can you remember, well, like either friends or kids that you knew who died, or kids' parents who died?
One kid I can remember who died wasn't from a disease. When we was at one of the, talking about the activity, the youth centre before, the holiday school care group. One day they took us all out to the national park, and I went with the factory. And the church across the road also had a bus. And the church bus had gotten there first and was swimming at one part, and the factory bus was going up to another part of the national park to swim. And I remember going past the others where they were, and there was just ambulance and everything going on. And one of the kids that had went on to with the church, I think was only about 6 years old, drowned in the water.
That was at Guatemala?
Yeah. I can't remember how old the kid was, but I remember that day, you know, just because I don't know how old I was, you know, probably about, say, 7 to 10 or something, but, I'll remember that day that, you know, it was a freaky thing to happen.
Yeah.
Later on, like, most recently, a lot of drug-related deaths have been happening, like in 19, I think it was 90. My cousin passed away of drug overdose. She was only 17 years old. And there was like two or three, no, there was three that was close, like within a month's period, another girl who also grew up in the area with my cousin, that girl, and with all of us, you know, that we all knew, she also passed away. And then there was like, so there was four around that time of close, and then since then there's been a few, and like most recently a brother and sister, two good friends of mine, both passed away within 8 months of a drug overdose.
How young were you? Was there a lot of drugs around here? I mean, how young were you when you first encountered the, like, hard drugs being around the place, where you knew you were bound to get them and stuff?
I haven't ever really been into drugs, you know, myself, any of that, you know, that scene. But I know that, like, marijuana, has always been around. I mean, that's just always has been. And I didn't really know much about hard drugs until probably, you know, like, say, 6 to 8 years ago. But I wouldn't have ever known where to get it or anything like that until, you know, probably most recently, where, you know, this person goes there, or, you know. I mean, there was... If you wanted it, you could get it. Easy, you know.
But it wasn't being waved in your face or anything, is it?
Yeah, no.
Can you remember any of the politicians of the day?
Not really. Bob Hawke's probably about the last one I can remember. Probably can't even remember any before that. Not really.
Okay, in growing up, did you see or experience sort of a time of major change? Did you notice any change in the area?
Not really. I mean, it's always sort of been... Like, there's been a lot of changes, but not... Like, when you look at it now, there's a big sort of change. But, I mean, it hasn't sort of all just changed, a big change in sort of like a space of years. It's sort of like changed bit by bit, and you know what I mean? There's no sort of like major point where it all of a sudden was something different to what it used to be sort of thing. It's always been, well, the same, to, you know, the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to ask a funny question. Can you remember any favourite ads and jingles or things like that?
Kind of mentioned, like, I remember one ad, and I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it was for Levi's jeans, and I was about 7 or 8, I think, and the Levi's jeans, and they used to, the people would have the Levi's jeans, and at the end of the commercial, they both turned around and went like that. Sorry. And me and my sister used to just, every time we seen it, we'd just laugh and get... And I could just always remember that commercial because it was sort of like a commercial that I liked, you know what I mean? What's some more? I can't think of, you know...
I know what we were asking before. I was trying to get onto rituals and things. Like, we had Cracker Night up at Alexandria Park. And presumably Christmas was a big... Was Christmas a big occasion?
Always, yeah.
How would you celebrate Christmas?
Well, always, you know, like, we'd have the Christmas tree and we'd always, you know, get a quite a good amount of presents, you know, I reckon, for... you know, we'd always get good presents and just have a spend Christmas, you know, at home with the family, and then... You know, wake up, open all the presents and stuff, and then I think earlier we used to go like to different families, like at different years. Like sometimes, at 1 year we'd go to this family, and another year we'd go to this family. But like most recently, within probably say the past 8 years, seven, 8 years, something like that, just go to my grandmother's and have lunch there and spend the. You know, the rest of the afternoon with all the family and whatever.
Can you remember any time in your life when there was sort of sort of ritualistic stuff, either organised by school or church or, I don't know, scout or brownies or somebody, you know, where they do, like gymnastics or big displays or anything like that. Was there any sort of event where they had lots of kids, I don't know, saluting the Queen?
Yeah, right there.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, South Sydney Festival was always a big thing. They have a parade sort of thing on, what's it called? They have the South Sydney Festival anyway. And they have I think a week's of events or whatever, but they end up having a parade and a whole big thing in the park and whatever. And I remember before the way it used to be, because I remember dressing the bus, the youth centre bus, up to, you know, they'd put big ears on it and paint, you know, decorate this bus to go into the parade. You know, we'd all go into the parade once a year. That was like a big thing, and they'd have, you know, different things to do in the park on that day and whatever.
What about at school? Did they ever have any sort of things where you do something? They used to do years ago physical culture and maypole dancing and things like that. Did you ever?
We used to have, once a year we'd have Aborigines Day at the school, on Aboriginals Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a thing at the school where parents would come down and would, they'd have like stalls or different stalls with food and whatever else.
Did you have to do, I mean, it's a funny question, but did you have to do sort of like corroboree type dancing and stuff like that?
Yeah, I remember one year, I can't remember, I think I was in kindergarten or first class at Redfern School, and we had to, I can't remember why, but on the Aboriginals Day, the Aboriginal kids from the school, like the older kids from third class to sixth class were doing a show. And then the ones from kindergarten to second class were doing a show after it. And they had, like, the you know, all Aboriginal kids. Yeah, and, like, the older ones sort of dressed up in their costumes and stuff and had a dance to Solid Rock, that old song. And they, you know, done sort of like a dance. I can't remember what theirs was. But then we done, us younger ones done a corroboree thing where it was just... you know, like just a quick little 5-minute sort of dance of a man chasing a kangaroo and catching him, and that was it.
How'd you feel about that?
I was excited at the time because, you know, sort of like performing and things like that, it was like, being able to do it was fun. And plus it was, you know, it was good to do, you know, a good thing to do.
Alright. Did you do anything on Anzac Day? Did you go to the march or anything like that?
No, one year in school, they invited kids to go to, two kids from Redfern School to go to, down to the dawn service in, you know, one of the Anzac Days, and, had picked me, but I slept in, and the taxi come, and I was asleep, and it went, so I didn't actually get to go, but that was once with the school.
Is there anything I haven't asked that I should have, about growing up here?
Not that I can think of. Enough question there.
I think I've covered it all. Is there anything that you wanted to say about your childhood that we haven't?
No, it's just, it was, you know, I'm sort of, in a way, I'm glad, you know, that I grew up in this area, you know, like, you know, sort of like an area where not everybody knows everyone, but you know practically mostly everyone, and, you know, I think being multicultural and that, a lot of people can get along, you know, and I don't think I'd ever really want to live anywhere else. You know, just by growing up here all my life, I'd probably just stay.
Yeah. What do you think about the reputation? Like every now and then on the news there's these things about, you know, riots at Redfern Station by couriers and all this sort of stuff, and they really build that up. Mm. You come around here and it's a pretty peaceful sort of neighbourhood. Mm. And how do the locals feel about that?
See, because that's just what it is. See, they only ever show the bad, you know, like. And I mean, it probably happens in 100 other places, you know, as well. But it's just never
and here it's
picked
right.
up as much.
Whereas
you know
elsewhere,
I mean?
Else yeah. would be a bit
mean,
of
like
a fight.
If a big fight like that happened in Maryville, or I mean, not Maryville, say where anywhere, I mean, it probably wouldn't be as much of a big thing than if it's a big fight in Redfern because it's Redfern and it's, you know, and I reckon that blacks are probably a lot louder that, you know, it does make it, you know, they make it a bigger, much more bigger thing than it normally is.
Yeah. Because what do you think about, I mean, you could probably describe something like that as a fight or a brawl, but it's usually described in terms of a riot, which is a sort of a completely bigger kind of word.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. And, like, I mean, recently, it's, like, lately it's been pretty good. They've got the CDP program going now. And, I mean, a lot of the trouble now that you know, when there is trouble there, it's mainly from kids that don't live on the block, you know what I mean, that don't live in that area. Because they've got the CDP program going now, a lot of the kids, you know, the youth or whatever, they work for the CDP and do all sorts of different things, you know, like they've got the cafe up the top now and they've got a screen printing shop and they've got their own company where they make all their clothes and everything, and they've got, the CDP runs like a removalist thing, and they go around and clean up, you know, they've fixed all the park up and things like that, so, you know what I mean, that just never gets shown, you know, of what they are doing in the area. The only part that ever gets shown of it, you know, is like, I mean, I notice that a lot too with working now, because I work just not far from Redfern, and you see a lot of the attitudes of people. The attitudes of the people are like, you know, like for instance, one of the people at my work was like, when I first come to Sydney, and I was driving somewhere to the airport, and I accidentally drove down Elliot Street, and I was just like, oh, what am I going to do? I have to get out of here, and sort of like just got out of there as quick as you can, you know. And I was like, you know, if you walk down there, if you go down there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you see, you know, like, 100 different people of 100 different nationalities walking up the street to walk up to the train station, and you know, it's I mean, I think some people just from what they see on TV and stuff do over, you know, just exaggerate a bit about how bad it is.
Yeah, just freak. Yeah. I was just looking over my questions. There's one here I forgot to ask you. Can you describe your mother's working day from what you can remember when you were growing up?
Normally, like, when we'd get up, Mum would always be gone to work already, because I think she used to start around 8 o'clock or whatever. And we'd always get up and our clothes would be ironed and our lot set of money each to take to school. So, you know, she'd get up, iron all her clothes and stuff and get them all ready. And she'd go to work, and then I think she used to finish about 3, so when I'd get home, she was normally home. And she, you know, if she didn't have shopping to do or whatever, she'd clean the house and then go to, you know, have a sleep if she can before dinner or whatever, and then cook dinner, and then after dinner, then clean up, and then, and then relax, I suppose.
Okay, look, I think we've just about covered it. Have you got anything else there?
No, that's
okay.
It.
All right, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.